O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Hymn number 463. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, the light of the minds that seek thee, the joy of the hearts that love thee, and the strength of the wills that serve thee, to thee, our Father, we lift our hearts in prayer and praise. From the littleness of our daily lives, may we be emancipated in this sanctuary. And in all our fretful anxieties, may we find here a restoring stillness at the heart of life. Enlarge our consciences, our Father, and touch us with compassion for the common frailty of mankind. O thou who hast appointed our lives for these demanding years, wilt thou temper us to live and work as those who have received thy calling? Grant us to know that which is worth knowing and to love that which is worth loving. Deliver us, O God, from pious error, from prejudice nourished as virtue, and from easy answers that are unworthy of searching minds. Help us, O God, to balance wisdom forever old and knowledge forever new. We bless thee this day for the truth that comes to us from many a land and from every age. Thou hast surrounded us, our Father, with a great cloud of witnesses. And we praise thee especially for thy servants from other lands who come to us here and whose lives are united with us in comradeship and learning. Bless all in this student body who come to us from afar, and upon their lives wilt thou this day lay thy hand in high vocation and enrich their hearts with ties of affection and memory and hope. Bless all of us in this company with great gifts and great holiness, that diligently and zealously, prudently and acceptably, we may be servants of the common good and comforters to the sad and weary, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us join together in reading responsively selection number 74. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.
And Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written,
and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We are exceedingly happy to have in this seminary community, and as our leader of worship this morning, Mr. David Chan, a native of Hong Kong, a graduate of the Alliance Bible Seminary in Hong Kong, and a missionary to Singapore. Mr. Chan is with us in his first year, having transferred from the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He is now working among Chinese students in the Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill area, and upon the completion of his seminary work, it is his plan to return to Singapore. We welcome him this morning as he comes to speak.
Thank you, Dr. Carlton, for the kind introduction. It is observed that to speak to such a congregation in a seminary setting, the speaker tends to be more highly academic than prophetic. This morning, I'll try to reject the former and pray to be the latter. The theme of my speech this morning is the concept of missions in a changing world, or a changing concept of missions in a changing world. The reason I chose this as my theme this morning is that tomorrow is our missionary day, and that next week we have our missions conference, and it is, I think, very pertinent to speak on this subject. Personally, I was a missionary to Singapore for some years, and I am regarded as a missionary here in the United States, trying to reach my own people in this land. So I am a foreign missionary too, right here, doing missions. But I resent this idea of foreign missions. I have a special bias of this word, foreign, quote unquote. There was a young man who was born in a village in Japan. He seldom sees foreigners, per se. One day, some of his relatives from Honolulu wrote him and asked him to go over to Honolulu. And he took a plane and he landed there. As soon as he got out of the plane in Honolulu, he looked around and said, "Oh yes, here they are, all the foreigners here." In actual fact, he was the foreigner. Let me not mislead you to the impression that all internationals or all people of other nationalities are so ignorant of what is going on here in the United States and all around the world. With the wide circulation of magazines and literature, with the facilities of radio and television media, and the study of Western culture beginning from primary schools, this generation in which we are a part is pretty well informed of what is going on all around the world. An Oriental student came to the United States and got registered into a university. The first thing he was to do was to go for orientation. Well, he never came across this word, orientation. So he went with a curious mind. Having gone through all the orientation, he came back and told his American friend. He said, "As I have thought, Having come from the Orient, I need no orientation. This is a small, small world. We have become aware of each other. We have known each other, though we have never met. Cultures have come to crossroads. But being a foreign student and classified as aliens in this country, I am surprised at the ignorance of the average American Christians about the worldwide mission of the church. Somehow their impression of mission field is 20 years behind, or even 100 years out of date. They still imagine that to be a missionary means to be a Dr. Livingston with a white hat, with a heavy jungle boots, and with an elephant gun. That's the image of the missionary. But that's not so. I have a very good missionary friend in Malaysia. He is teaching in our seminary in Penang right now. When he came to Singapore, we helped him unpack his luggages. Oh, he had a lot of luggages. And we came across a whole packet of 12 dozen cakes of soap. So I asked him what he meant to do with these 12 dozen cakes of soap. Well, he said, my mother-in-law packed it for me. She thought that she feared that we had to take the bath behind a bush or somewhere on the top of the trees. When I came over here, some people asked me, do you have electricity over there? Well, I don't remember any day when we don't have electricity. And some others asked me, how about your national costume? Well, this is it. You may not be aware of the fact that the biggest city in the world is not New York. Our friend from Japan can tell you, it's Tokyo, with 11 million inhabitants at night and 13 million in working hours. The best planned city in the world is not here, but in Brazil. The highest percentage of college students is in the Philippines. The world has changed a lot during the last 20 years. It has been changed, and changed rapidly. And we must be aware of this if we are to be effective in world missions. Well, why do I spend so much time in talking about all these things? Not just to fill your curiosity. I am concerned about the future of worldwide mission, or what is, quote, foreign missions, unquote. Is there a future for foreign missions? Is there a future for worldwide missions in this changing world? China, my country, constitutes 1/4 of the whole world's population. It was once the most fruitful mission field, but is now a missing field. Communism has proved to be a better alternative to the people than the gospel as presented by us, the messengers of Jesus Christ. Somehow the church, or rather the church's concept of foreign missions, has failed us. Unless we all wake up and restate our mission strategy, we will be fighting a losing battle. I have attended quite a number of mission conferences back home and out here. I find that there is one marking characteristic of mission conference. Somehow in the afternoon they would divide into two groups. One group will discuss home missions and the other foreign missions. Well, I attended both sessions. And I find that in the session in foreign missions, they try to appeal to the compassion of the young people for the human needs, what they call, or the physical needs of the people out yonder on the other shore. They show films and slides of poor perishing people, babies, and the like. When I searched the audiovisual aids department of the library, I find that most of the slides that are presented by the Foreign Mission Board are distortions of the real picture of the foreign mission field. You find poverty, you find all kinds of pitiful scenes in those slides. But I have a different set of slides. They're all different. Now what does that say? It says that in our concept of foreign missions, we think of foreign missions as a charity through which we dispense the gospel as some kind of alms to those pagans who are lost in the night. But we are unaware of the fact that they cherish their own culture, they cherish their own religion, they cherish their own philosophical systems, and most of them have thousands of years of history. Foreign missions is not charity. The Prime Minister of Singapore, Mr. Lee, said, "What we ask for is not charity, but opportunity." And now I come to my three-point thesis for a new concept of worldwide missions. First of all, we must realize that missions has gone through stages of development. At first, it was the stage of pioneering missions, when those heroes of the past went into the jungles with elephant guns and jungle boots and white hats, and they pioneered the place. Then the picture changed. When the gospel penetrated into the hearts of people, churches came up, and the Holy Spirit taught them and guided them into the truth. Somehow they grew, and missions became not pioneering, but a supervision of the work. Missionary became somehow a supervisor, an advisor of what should be done. And then it should develop into a third stage, what I call co-laboring. Missions should be a co-laboring between the missionary and the indigenous workers or ministers. When I came over here, the first question people asked me was, "Are you a Southern Baptist?" Well, I say, "No, of course not." "What, did you say that you are a Foreign Mission Board scholarship student?" "Oh, yes, I did. That's a fact." "What does that mean, that they are using cooperative program money to support people who are not Southern Baptists?" "Well, that's ridiculous." "No, I'm not a Southern Baptist. I'm a Hong Kong Baptist." "If you say that Baptist churches are indigenous, local, autonomous churches, then when a missionary go over to to the field, he joins the church as a local member. He loses his identification with the Southern Baptist Convention, and became a Hong Kong Baptist, or a Singapore Baptist, or a Nigerian Baptist. He is a member of the local congregation. The second question people ask me, how many churches do we have in your country? I say, you don't, we do. This is quite a paradoxical picture. We stress the autonomous thesis of a Baptist church, and then we think of foreign missions as something of a branch station out there. Missions should be co-laboring. When I came over here, the first thing people asked me was, do you know Bill Wallace? Oh yes, I do. I know him through the book. Well, what do you think about him? Oh, he is a good man, of course. A man of God. But I resent the concept of missions. The writer of that book, well, I know who he is. The writer of that book chooses different material and put together an image of a missionary hero, a lone hero in the crowd of poor, poor little indigenous Christians out there. In actual fact, the Wu Chiao Hospital was just a little branch of the Canton Baptist Hospital. And there were many, many co-laborers with Bill Wallace, nationals. So this is it. Missions should develop from pioneer stage to a supervision stage and then to a co-laboring stage. Secondly, missions is not a special vocation. It should be thought as a matter of location rather than vocation. As we read from the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, ye must be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Now what does that word both there mean? Well, I am not a good English grammarian. But if you leave that word both out, it means something like this. This is my Jerusalem. When I have evangelized this, my Jerusalem, then I'll go to my Judea, maybe Wake County, maybe North Carolina, maybe the United States. And then I'll go to all Samaria, the Americas, Crusade of the Americas. Then to the uttermost part of the world, to the yonder. But that's not the biblical concept of missions. Go ye therefore to all nations, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in all Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. It's all at the same time. So there should not be a difference between home missions and foreign missions. It's a matter of location rather than vocation. Some of us ministers shiver at the idea of being sent to a foreign mission field. And the excuse is that I have no calling to the foreign missions. Well, if you can minister the Lord and his church here in Wake County, you can minister him in another county. If you can minister him in another county, you can minister him in another land, country, and continent. It's not a special vocation. It's a matter of relocation. And thirdly and lastly, missions was somehow monopolized by the ministerial in the past. But I think it is time to mobilize the laity in missions. Communism has taught us this. When communism came, missionaries, ministers, or persons or personnel by vocation has to leave the country. And what is left is the church, the Christian, the individual Christian. Now, where is the church? The church is still there. Who is responsible for missions in China right now? Not the ministerial, but the laity. If we are to be effective in the foreign mission field, or in the worldwide mission field, to be exact, we should mobilize the laity. Communism has a very effective way, the way of infiltration. Must we not also infiltrate the world? For the Lord said, "Ye are not of the world, neither are ye out of the world. But as the Father has sent me, so send I you." Shall we pray? O Lord, forgive us where we have failed thee. Help us not to be disobedient to this heavenly calling. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.